Hi, welcome to How Birds Will Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin-Staltari, and I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. In this current series that we're doing, we are traveling through France, both France the country and La Nouvelle France, which is Quebec, which would become Quebec. So we're doing profiles on Les Filles du Roi. I have some other videos on travel in Quebec, and I also have some genealogy and case studies as well that you can have a look at on my channel. I really wanted to focus on Les Filles du Roi. For those of you who are returning, you know that I take each individual lady who came across and try to profile her, try to get a sense of what she contributed to the vast tapestry that is Quebec. And those of you who are new to the channel, please have a look at, we're on number 66. So we've done 66 profiles so far. This is our 66th, I should say. And we are intent on doing all of them. All of the Filles du Roi who would have contributed to the descendancy that would become Quebec. Now, with that being said, I want to let you know that you can subscribe to this channel, get notifications, like the video. I'm also available on Facebook and on Twitter. Also, I want to let you know, if you have any comments or suggestions, please feel free to post them on the YouTube spot where you can do that, or you can email me at lisa@haveroutswilltravel.com, which is my website, and I would be happy to respond. If you have any suggestions about Filles du Roi that I can do, I will certainly put them on the list, which is ever growing, as you can imagine. And with that being said, let's get started. For those of you just joining us, this is your first video. Wanted to make sure you knew that there is a Filles du Roi, the program, which lists all the ins and outs of the program on the YouTube channel. Have a look at that, because it will really give you a bird's eye view of, you know, what the program was all about and what your ancestor would have had to go through. So let's have a look at who is our Filles du Roi of the week. So this week we are featuring a lady named Catherine de Lalande, which is a perfectly normal sounding French name. Let's have a look at what makes her really, really unique. This is not a viewer request, but rather one that I stumbled across in my research. And it actually is, you know, that best friend that keeps popping up. Well, this is not my best friend's ancestry. It's her daughter through her husband's line. And so really, really excited to present this to you because it's a little different. Let's have a look at Catherine. It's so exciting to see a map of England instead of one of France. And so here's the map of England, and we have a pictorial illustration of England in the middle ages. She was born in 1654 in London, England. Her father, Charles de Lalande, Lawlor is actually another version of it, was an Englishman. And her mother, Madeleine de Bray, was from France. And so upon her father's death, she then would have taken a boat to La Rochelle. Obviously, there were no boats leaving for New France in England. So she would have returned to France in order to hop on and join Les Filles du Roi. It's very interesting kind of, so that means that she would have come, obviously speaking English, and would have been, there's no talk of her having to convert, so I'm not sure of the religious component to it, but fascinating kind of journey that she already is on. So let's have a look at when she arrives. So upon her father's death, she left for New France. Again, she would have had to probably leave from La Rochelle. July 30th, 1671, they arrive in Quebec City, and she's bringing with her a dowry worth about 300 pounds. So she obviously had some bit of money behind her. And let's have a look at who she selects. So Catherine would have come over at the end of July. By October, she's signing a contract with a man named Louis Lavallée, but that was annulled. The next fellow, whose name was Louis Bedillac de Laplante, would be ultimately her husband. And he was born in 1644 in the town or commune of Périgueux, which is the capital of the region of Périgord. The commune of Périgueux has existed since 200 BC. Can you imagine how, I mean, it's just historic. The church where he would have been baptized is Saint-Étienne de la Cité and had been built in the 12th century. So you can kind of see that it's kind of in the middle, where he's from. Périgueux is really not near the ocean. It really is kind of in that, you know, inland, if you will. So just interesting, his journey. Now, why and how did he get to New France? Let's have a look. Now, Louis, as so many others did before him, would join the Carignan soldiers, and he would arrive on June 18, 1665, in with the Compagnie des Froments. And so that he would like kind of establish himself, and he was one of the 400 men who decided to stay in New France and benefit from all that the government was giving, land and that sort of thing, and kind of waited around to find a wife. Although we do not have a marriage record, we do know that sometime between 1671 and 1672, Catherine and Louis were married at Sorel, Quebec. And so let's get to know a little bit about where they established their family. Sorel is actually the fourth oldest city in Quebec. It began in 1642 when Charles Montmagny, the first governor of New France, built Fort Richelieu against the Indian threats. The fort was destroyed in 1647 by the natives, but rebuilt by the Carignan-Salyer Regiment in 1665. Pierre de Sorel was in command of a regiment of the Carignan-Salyer, and he would become the first seigneur in 1672. And then in 1681, there was a census, and we have Louis on there with Catherine and their children, Catherine, Marie, and Louis. They possess one gun, four bêtes à cône, which is four goats, and eight arpents à valeur, about five to six acres of land. So there gives you an, and this map here on the right is the map of the Fort Richelieu. I wanted to show you where Sorel was. You can see it's on the other side of the St. Lawrence, if you will. And you can see where Three Rivers is. So it's kind of down from Three Rivers, but up from Montreal. So you can kind of get a glimpse of that. That's the church that was ultimately to be built there as well. Let's have a look at the family that Louis and Catherine built together. Louis and Catherine would have eight children. Let's start with Marie-Catherine would marry Pierre Lamy and have six children, five of whom would make it to adulthood. Marie married Bernard Delaunay and had four children, two of whom would make it to adulthood. Anne-Elisabeth would die at 13, unfortunately. Louis would become a voyageur and would pass away in Detroit, Michigan at 23. I'm always fascinated because I always think to myself, when I see that they've, you know, become a voyageur and moved on into the United States, I always think to myself, did they leave descendants? And I wonder always about DNA. So who knows, in passing, maybe we'll find out more about Louis. Gilles married Marie-Françoise Julliard and would have 10 children, six of whom would make it to adulthood. Thérèse would marry Pierre Junior and have one child. She then had a child out of wedlock with Pierre Blett and had one child. She then married Gabriel Trottier, dit Saint-Jean, and have six children, five of whom survived. So she just had a kind of a checkered kind of history there. Claire married François Langteau and had 15 children, seven of whom would make it to adulthood. That's actually the line that my friend's family grows from. Or my friend's daughter, it grows from. Catherine married Bonaventure Compagne de l'Espérance and had three children, two of whom would make it to adulthood. We do not know when Catherine would pass away, but we have a rough estimate of between 1690 and 1694. This would mean that she tragically would die between the age of 36 and 40. Louis would outlive her by a decade, but he too would pass away between 1702 and 1705, between the ages of 58 and 61. Just want to make sure you know the reason why we have these rough estimates is because we kind of, in the church documents or marriage records or things like that, it will say this is the last, like it will say so and so is deceased. So we know that at that point they had passed on. And then we know that the first date that could potentially be, it would be the last time that they would appear in a document. So we sort of guess in that, and that is, and kind of not even guess, we kind of calculate, if you will. At the time of her death, Catherine and Louis would have been married 20 years, a short time, but long enough for them to make a mark. By that famous 1729 analysis, 68 descendants of this couple would carry on their line. So that's very good testimony. And to them and their contribution to Sorel and just, you know, growing that line. So really, really interesting. I want to talk a little bit about the resources you can look at. We have La Société des Filles du Roi et Soldats du Carignan, which is a wonderful society that I belong to, and I'm also the membership chairperson. Wanted to have a shout out to them. Not only if you become a member, it's a wonderful thing, and you'll get a certificate and all that good stuff, but there's some resources on there that will absolutely help you. You know, even if you're not a member. Before I became a member, I used to go on that site all the time. So, and then there's another resource that I have recently found, which I absolutely adore, and it's a Facebook page dedicated to Les Filles du Roi descendants. It's a private group, so you must, you know, apply to join. They just want to make sure that you're absolutely part of that group. And then the website that I use a lot, there are many that I use a lot, but this one in particular, Migration, I've included all of the listings as well, so not to worry, just look up on this particular slide all of the addresses. Migration is a site that is just kind of everything you ever wanted to know about Filles du Roi, the soldiers, the ships, everything is on there. It's fascinating, wonderful site. So I'd absolutely recommend them. And with that, we end our study of Catherine de Lalaure and her wonderful journey from England to New France. We thank her for her her contribution. Although her life was a short one, she did in fact have a tremendous amount of descendants for that short of a period of time. And it's just remarkable, her life, to have come from England. I would love to know more about this young lady and what that was about. She just fascinates me. So with that, I will bid you adieu. And au revoir until I see you on episode number 67, where we'll explore another Filles du Roi.